And we're leaving out a lot there, aren't we? Our dearest treasures taken from us. May every single one, the murder of every single one of our treasures, be outed as such. I don't mean accountability. I just want there to be the truth outed. I don't want anything swept under the rug. Whoever they murdered, I want there to be awareness that that person did not die of this or that, or mysteriously, but were intentionally taken from us. Our treasures. Our dearest, every single one. May we know what happened to them. Turning to our model for resistance, a holistic self-defense practice, which incorporates community education, incorporating our new understanding in our bodies, having an expression and movement and voice, organizing for global general strikes, acquiring land for earthships, and five here in the US, calling the question, organizing a referendum on our right to happiness. So instead of move to amend, we will call for a move to abolish, as it is writ we are entitled to do in the Declaration of Independence. We've said this before, and today we are going to be talking about and this is going to be part one of this discussion. Authentic challenges, defending the authentic self on a daily basis in a totalitarian reality. So, get going a little even deeper into this practical politics tip. We've said this before, but it bears repeating. These things are all of a piece. The key mental divide between citizen and barbarian, and its key elements, scarcity, abandonment of children, and lack of empathy. They are all of a piece because class is totalitarian. In other words, the system is self-reflecting, and all aspects are designed to continuously remanifest the state. Scarcity manifests the state in the economy. That's why they have to continually ensure it exists, despite the obvious reality of our Earth's abundance. Then there's dualistic utilitarian thinking, and that's the citizen-barbarian divide, is incorporated in that, manifested in the polity. And I have learned that whatever official name they give to the polity in whatever the state happens to be, it is, until we have our world back, in reality, fascistic, totalitarian. And then there's the abandonment of children manifested in the family. And then lack of empathy manifested in us. We can riff on any aspect, but we're always talking about one thing. Almost 4 years ago, my son and I engaged in on-air debates about the role of personal healing in our global movement to freedom, in which he posed the question, and I think a lot of folks have asked themselves this, of whether it's necessary first to heal oneself personally before you can begin planning a world based in the opposite two class premises of abundance and non-coercion. And since then, the progression of our analysis here has led us to see that the route to getting free lies through healing the collective injury of class. Defending the authentic self is one aspect of decommissioning the system. And we're arguing here that that all the aspects should be happening simultaneously. And this time we're in a very dangerous moment, which, as we just said, they, according to the economists, have already figured out how to keep us on lockdown. I don't think that's so. It is simply a matter of our using the power of light to our advantage for us. Because there is magic as we put our longing, our body's longing, in our voices and share them with our brothers and sisters. That becomes a light, an energy that gets transmitted invisibly too. So let's start transmitting our invisible energy, and that manifests in our brothers and sisters as physical organization. There's, I think, a back and forth between the invisible energy of our determination, our longing and love for ourselves, and then the actual interchanges that we create with each other in physical reality and digitally as well. Last week we said that in our collective grieving, it doesn't matter if anyone else is authentic, as long as we are. We model it and let the earth in us do the rest. And that's the earth in us, collective us. But it may be more difficult to be authentic than to defend it. Defending it being that collective effort toward our freedom, which is materialized in the alternative that we start making together. A recent experience confirms this, confirms that the problem of our understanding, quote unquote, and this is what Alice warned us of, understanding the state, our parents, runs very deep in our psyches, in our habits of being. Martial artist Kate has given me another gift, the opportunity to assist in a self-defense class for preschoolers. I called them toddlers last week, and they're actually age 3 to 5, for preschoolers on Saturday mornings, and being with them is like my walks at 4 a.m., oxygen in a cesspool of falseness. What did Emily say? I love a look of agony because I know it's true. This morning, and this was, I wrote yesterday, was my second, April 23rd, was my second time going. Zora Neale Hurston once wrote that theories go by the board when a person's livelihood is threatened. She described an incident from her days working as a manicurist in a white barber shop in downtown Washington. Quote, Mr. Robinson's 1410 G Street shop was frequented by bankers, senators, cabinet members, congressmen, and gentlemen of the press. The National Press Club was one block down the street, the Treasury Building was one block up the street, and the White House not far away, unquote. And then she says, a man, a Negro, came into the shop one afternoon and sank down in Banks's chair. Banks was the manager and had the first chair by the door. It was so surprising that for a minute, Banks just looked at him and never said a word. Finally, he found his tongue and said, what do you want? Haircut and shave, the man said belligerently. Unquote from Zora. Long story short, all the Negro staff, being of one mind, tossed the man out. And I feel like I'm in a somewhat comparable position to that lone protester. The very diverse and vast array of trackers and would-be murderers, of course, unbeknownst, I'm sure, are also defending their livelihoods. But I'm digressing in a digression. Forgive. She concludes, quote, I don't know what was the ultimate right in this case. I do know how I felt at the time. There's always something fiendish and loathsome about a person who threatens to deprive you of your way of making a living. That's just human-like, I reckon. Unquote. And Proudhon would concur. Is it, I'm not sure if it's in today's reading or not, which he makes a similar point and says, in this, we are like all other animals. But it does mean when our bodies are for hire, unlike any other animal, we are fodder for fascism. And I was quoting from Zora's autobiography, Dust Tracks on a Road. So another long story short, and then we'll leave the analysis till next week, because we got to have some Proudhon. In an earlier conversation about how to support the whole child, the child's authentic self, Kate commented, I can't do anything for the child if he or she is not there. Point being, put generously, we must work with the parent where they are at, is the gist. Where do you stand on this? These are not straightforward, simple questions until we get clear. These are new experiences. We're in the transition, not to socialism, to freedom. May we make ourselves fit for our dance in the all of it very soon. And of course, I don't mean to suggest that our earth-connected brothers and sisters don't already know the steps. I mean that those of us stuck in this sick system of class must make ourselves anew. Not an easy thing to do, but very, very much possible. Because all of us have that two-year-old inside of us. Trust, I've learned this through my own experience. And we'll repeat this refrain next week.